And we're doing it again.
We are doing it, Brandon.
It feels good.
It feels good to be with the people, with the podcast.
That's right. And we are really in a studio today.
We are in a studio. We are at Fellowship Greenville.
Yes.
They are friends of ours, partner church in the area. And Brandon and I are in the studio today. They actually have like a real studio.
Right.
So one time we said we were in a studio, but it was. Well, it's your house.
It's my house.
I mean, you do have a corner of your house that is a studio.
Yes.
And I wouldn't expect anything different from you, to be honest with you. But this is like a real studio. And so we're here today and I like it. I like the setup.
Yeah.
I think it feels good. I think it's going to sound good.
Yeah.
But here's what we need to apologize for. Brandon and I are both struggling with what the...
Financially.
No, you guys can give to the podcast.
No,
it's fine. No? It's fine. We're struggling with what the doctors have been talking about a lot on the news.
What are they calling it?
Summer cold.
Summer cold.
You have a summer cold. I have a summer cold. I would like it pointed out you had the summer cold before I had the summer cold. We worked together this past Sunday morning at Summit Church doing announcements and things. And next thing I know, I've got the summer cold.
Right.
So your voice is a little lower.
Yep.
My voice is a little lower. We're going to be clearing our throat some today during our 22-minute podcast, which is your commute from wherever you are to wherever
you're going.
We're just honored that you're here, Summit Drive Time with Jason and Brent.
My summer cold has drained to my ear.
Okay.
It's a mess.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on that because that can turn into an ear infection.
Yep.
Then you're on amoxicillin.
But how
then
do I that keep upsets an eye on
your
it? What
stomach.
Does that mean?
You have your wife look regularly inside your ear. Are y'all at the point in your marriage where she can take
she's
a look
fine with that.
In the ear and see if she sees anything? Okay. So just keep an eye.
What is she
on
looking
it.
For, though? You're a doctor.
Yes. Yeah. Just fluids.
Okay.
Sweet tea, Coke, Coca-Cola. just different fluids.
She's looking
and
for
stuff.
Sweet tea and Coke in my ear.
Different fluids that might be in there.
If it is, then what do I do? You're not helping. Like you're just giving me like, hey, just look for it.
Yeah, you're gonna go to MD360, and there's gonna be a paid professional that is gonna help you determine next steps. Or you just go to CVS now because you know you can go to
the
CVS,
Minute Clinic.
Walgreens.
Yep.
All these Rite Aid, Eckerd. Is Eckerd?
Why do we even have hospitals?
You just walk right in and you say, hey, I need to get this greeting card. I need some applesauce.
And I need my ears checked.
And will you look in my ears?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal.
And the doctors just see, they walk with you around the store while you're doing your shopping.
That's right.
It's
looking
amazing.
They look in your ear
phenomenal.
And then they say, copay $25.
That's right.
I love
it. It's amazing. Speaking of the studio space, you know, you mentioned my studio. One thing I'm working on is a children's album.
Okay.
I've been singing a lot of songs to Grizz, my son. And I thought, man, I really need to get these down. My hit single is going to be a song called Catch Those Z's.
Catch Those Z's.
Catch Those Z's.
I love it.
It's a song about catching those Z's, heading to sleep. And I think it's going to be a real jam. Now, we might premiere it in a couple weeks.
On the podcast?
On the pod.
I would love to have like just a cut in the album. Like I'd like a line maybe where I rap.
I would like for you to do, you know how lots
where
of times...
Where I say maybe a few lines from my sermon and you put music to it in the background.
Yeah, like they do with John Piper and stuff, the sermon jams.
Just like that.
I was thinking, you know how lots of times in Christian music they have little kids come in and read scripture?
Yes.
Well, instead of little kids, it's you doing the voice of a little kid.
I can totally do that.
Yeah, I think that'd be really good.
All right, we'll do it. Brandon, let's tell everybody what the podcast is about today.
Yes.
You run with that. Go ahead.
We're in the dog days of summer.
We are in the dog days of summer.
And lots of times you're busy, right? You're doing lots of things. You're making sure your kids have things that they can do. You're going on vacations. And you're like, man, I just really need to rest. And so lots of times we go on these vacations, but we plan so much on these vacations. And so how restful are those vacations and stuff? But we've also been in our Psalms and our Proverbs series. And,
that's right.
This past week or a couple weeks ago, depending on where you are, we were in Psalms 23 and talking about resting.
Yeah.
And so I thought it would be a great idea to talk a little bit about what does it look like to truly rest in the midst of the busyness of life, in the midst of trying to rest. What does it look like to truly rest?
Yeah,
especially in the busyness of the summer.
Yeah, Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." As you mentioned, we've been processing and studying through Psalm 23 over the last couple of weeks. You and your new role as Creative Communications Director for all of Summit Church have been posting on our social media platforms, not only the messages that were taught around our congregations, but also some of the questions that we were asking people to consider. You know, even when we were putting this message together, a lot of you know that we meet as a team and we're working a few weeks out and putting our services together. And one of the ideas that we had was to not just teach Psalm 23 because it's such a familiar passage, but to break it up, teach a couple of verses, pose a question that people could ponder, and then respond through a few songs of worship, and then teach another verse and some more songs with another question, and then a few more verses, and so on and so forth. And so that's how we set that up, as we've taught it around our congregations. Feedback on that has been really great.
Yeah.
And what I mean by feedback isn't, hey, you guys were great. The feedback was, thanks for allowing us to have space to think well, because I think oftentimes, you know, you think of Psalm 23, even the question you pose, like, how do I rest well? I don't know that people stop long enough to really think about it. I think they agree that they should.
Yeah.
I think they know that it's an important part of life, but they also know they're busy. So what does it look like to, you know, a question that I process through the years is not just how do I rest, but how do I rest in the midst of doing? Right. Is it possible to rest in the midst of doing? I think the answer to that, because of Jesus, is yes.
Yeah.
And I don't want that to sound trite, overly spiritual, or like pastoral talk. I believe that it is possible for followers of Jesus to rest in the midst of life. And life is busy, and life can be hectic. Obviously, there are lots of things going on. Sometimes just busyness, sometimes heaviness, like things that you're going on and going on in life are extremely heavy. And we have some folks even around our Summit family right now that have been processing and walking through that. So when we put this service together, like, that was the deal. Like, can we give people time to think? And we asked you when we taught through the passage, we said, hey, don't just think about it even now. Like, walk home and process through these questions. When you go throughout your week, think about these questions of what does it mean? What does it mean to rest? And after we talked through the first three verses, the verses that I just read a moment ago, I asked the question to our congregation, am I resting as one being led?
Yeah.
What does it look like to rest? If he is leading me, if he's the shepherd and I'm the sheep, how can I functionally, practically, tangibly rest? Like, I know that it's true in my mind. I know I can have a peace that is restful in the midst of all of life, but also practically, what does rest look like?
It seems to imply that there is great rest to be found in seeking Jesus, right? And
100%.
The passionate pursuit of him, and the obedience. There's rest there. There's rest to be found there.
Yeah, even in the terminology of sheep and shepherd, you know, Jesus is the shepherd. We're the sheep. Jesus calls himself in the Gospel of John, the good shepherd. We talked a little bit about that. You know, sheep, like the real animals, they aren't that bright. We talked about that. They don't know where they're going. The shepherd knows where the sheep are going. The shepherd knows where he's going. And so his commitment to direct their steps, direct their path, to lead them in a place where they can find rest, where they can find nourishment, spiritual nourishment, obviously being implied here by David as he writes the Psalm in 23, writes Psalm 23. So, yeah, I think that's something for us to think really well about. Brandon, I shared some about my own personal journey.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a strong by nature. I'm not a strong rester. I like to be on the move. I like to be on the go. Not only do I talk really fast when I teach on Sunday mornings, I'm just kind of a moving along sort of guy.
Sure.
My wife knows that about me. My close friends know about that about me. The pastoral staff and elders at Summit.
Hard for you to turn the brain off.
Know that about me. Yeah, hard to turn the brain off. And a little bit of what I shared, and I know a lot of you didn't hear me teach this passage. You heard some other of our pastors teach it. But part of what I shared when I taught it was a little bit of my own journey that about 5 years ago now, I got really sick. Sick to the point of needing emergency surgery because of an infection that I had. It was really serious. I didn't realize how serious in the midst of how sick I was. It wasn't until after that I came out of surgery that the doctor said, hey, you were almost dead. You had about 24 hours of living had you not come in and gotten everything taken care of. But as a result of the sickness and a result of the surgery, my recovery time was, you know, weeks and weeks that I was laid up. And it was during that time that I turned to the Psalms. No one told me to. I think it was just led by the Holy Spirit. to begin reading in Psalms, and with the purpose and intent of acknowledging I needed to rest well. As a matter of fact, I remember, and I didn't share this in my message, I remember laying, when I got out of the hospital, laying in bed at home. And one of the questions that I just asked the Lord was, hey, is my heart divided in any way? As I'm laid up here, is my heart divided in any way? And all I meant by that is there something in my life that I'm missing, something that you want to continue to transform? And that was the thing, rest. Like, Jason, I want you to rest in me. And so I jumped into Psalms and started reading through. And what I did share is I read through with pen in hand, and I circled every time I saw the word rest. But it wasn't just the word rest that I was circling. You know, I was circling words like fortress and stronghold and refuge and shield, anything that captured this idea that God is my protector, my provider, my leader, the one who is in control of all things. So I think in order to actually rest well physically, it begins with learning what it means to rest spiritually.
Yeah.
And then you begin to apply some things, I think, practically to your life, because you can't say that you're growing, I don't believe, say that you're growing in rest spiritually and not let that impact
That's right.
the disciplines of your life and how you do life and how you walk through life as you interact with people.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating that the psalmist says that I shall not want.
Yeah.
Like this, that is profound. Like in the midst there, that there are people that will read that are on food stamps, that are struggling.
Yeah.
But at the same time can say, I don't want, I don't need anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is profound. There's great rest to be found in understanding that he's enough for us and finding our rest in that. It's wild. It's beautiful.
One of the things that I've just been thinking about practically then is, if he is our rest, how do we begin to apply that?
Yeah.
How do we begin to apply that to our life? I don't know if there's some rhythms in your life that you've thought about or processed through before, but if you want to share a couple, go for it, and then I'll share a few thoughts as well.
Like, I like to write songs. Like, that's one way that I express myself, is through writing and through singing. And so that might just be journaling for you, but just processing it. I think it's important for us to process. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of things that we're processing in our minds that we don't even know that we are.
Yeah.
And sort of giving space to that.
Unhindered space.
Absolutely.
Like, no time constraints.
Yeah.
We all feel so busy. Like, there's this time pressure. Some of it maybe is legitimate. I think a lot of times it's not as legitimate as we want to make it seem in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I should be doing this. Here's my to-do list, and I need to check the things off my list. So, yeah. Uninterrupted space and time to process whatever that looks like for you.
And I think one of the things I'm thankful for, especially being on the staff team here as a younger guy, is the leadership really wants to give us that space. And so monthly, we're getting away by ourselves for half a day to just spend time in prayer, to spend time just reflecting on the past month, processing, reading scripture, praying towards the future, like all that stuff. We have space. And so what I would like to encourage those of you that are maybe married and you have kids and you're just like, there's no way that I have time for that. Just ask your spouse, like, hey, would you be willing to just give me half a day to just get away,
right,
to actually spend time with the Lord and spend time in prayer? And I want nothing more than to do the same for you.
Yeah.
So setting yourself up and setting your spouse up for success in that area, I think is a huge deal. It's really big.
I think for all of us, you know, there's the regular rhythm of daily time with the Lord. We talk about that a lot at Summit.
Mm-hmm.
You can call it devotions. You can call it quiet time. Call it whatever you want to call
QTs.
It.
QTs.
Yeah. You don't have to. Yeah. QTs, if you will. You don't have to call it anything. I think what Brandon's speaking to there that I want to draw out a little bit more is, on top of that, on top of 15 minutes a day,
right,
or 30 minutes a day where I'm just in the Word, praying, journaling, whatever the case may be, that there should be a regular rhythm of life where we're pulling away for even more of an extended time.
That's right.
Again, maybe that's an hour. Maybe that's 3 hours. Maybe it's half a day. And I get it. Like, I hear that as well. Like, well, I don't know when I'm going to create that space. Couples that I've talked to, that I've given this challenge to, that have done it, all of them speak to the value of it.
That's right.
The benefit of it, how good it is for their marriage, how good it is for their parenting, how good it is for their relating to their friends, their coworkers, classmates, like whatever the case may, neighbors, whatever the case may be. And so just try it.
Yeah.
Like sit down. Some of you are pretty great at family calendaring. Others of you, it would be an area to grow in because it does take time. Like it does take intentionality.
Right.
It's very rare that any of you are sitting around and go, I've got nothing to do for 3 hours. I'm going to get away. So put it on the calendar. Like go out 3 months and say, on this Saturday morning, I'm going to take 2 hours and just go somewhere.
Yeah.
And you on this Saturday morning can do that, or Sunday afternoon, or whatever works with, you know, whatever does work with your schedule.
Yeah.
Be intentional about silence. Be intentional about solitude. And like you said, uninterrupted time of processing.
Yeah. I talk about it with students all the time, this idea of relationship. Like it is a relationship with the Lord. And like all relationships, there are moments where Jason and I will connect for a few minutes, and that's great. But there are other also times where I just need to we just need to go get lunch together for a while. Spend some time catching up. Same with my spouse. Like, we need to get away.
Yeah,
we just need to spend time together. So, the 15 minutes, 30 minutes a day, absolutely. That's important for any relationship. But also acknowledging also in any relationship that matters.
That's right.
There's going to be some extended time that you need.
That's a great.
With that person.
Yeah.
For sure.
And so, again, I don't think we can articulate enough the importance of setting up some family rhythms in that regard. Individual rhythms, if you're not married yet, maybe you'll be married one day. Like if you think life's going to get less busy for you, you're sadly mistaken. Uh-huh. And so the disciplines, intentionality that you put in now are only going to be, you're only going to be the better for it. The busier life gets, the longer you live, the more things that are coming at you. So be intentional to set aside that time. The other thing I would just say is, like, are you willing to evaluate if everything you're doing is something you need to be doing?
That's right. Yeah.
And I may be getting in some people's business here, but my wife and I have made some intentional decisions that our daughters aren't going to play sports year-round. Why? Now, I'm not bashing people who do play sports year-round, but I do acknowledge that for those that do, like, they're all over the place all the time. Like, that's a time-consuming thing. So for us, practically, like we just made that decision. Here's a season in which we are going to be playing sports. I know you could be playing sports year-round, honey, but this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to give ourselves and our time to. And here's how we're going to prioritize our life in such a way that worshiping together as a family is going to be a priority. We're going to build that into the rhythm of our life because this is a moment of respite for us.
Yeah,
I mean, even Wednesday nights, we want to value that for our daughter. Sunday morning, we want to value that for our family that we worship together. There's something currently going on, Brandon, in our culture that I've got a little bit of a problem with, and it's this. People somehow have started to pit against one another, worshiping as a family and family time. Like I'm hearing that.
Yeah.
I'm reading stuff on it where people go, well, you know, Sunday's the only time we have as a family.
Right.
Okay. Now, why wouldn't gathering for worship and just resting, you know, that is a piece of resting that I'm going to walk into an environment where I worship the Lord through song, where I'm taught by His word. And I'm going to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a sense of respite for us in the midst of everything that's going on. And we're in a culture now, I don't know if it's because of legalistically in the past, we're told, you got to go to church, and if you don't, God doesn't love you. We would never say that.
Absolutely.
But I don't want to just chunk everything and not have people think well. Family time, rest time as a family can be part of the Sunday morning environment.
Yeah.
Come worship.
Right.
Sit together as a family. Have your daughter, have your son in a student ministry with leaders that want to talk to them about rest.
Yeah. I mean, people don't know
relationship.
The amount of conversations that we have about just like in today's day and age or culture, what does that look like for student ministry? It is changing.
Yeah.
And so how do we continue to come alongside parents to, one, help them in the discipleship of their student, but also to encourage them to value the time.
Yeah.
Like to value student ministry, to value Summit Kids, to value those things. So
those are just a few things. In your own life, create space. If you have a family unit, create space with them.
Yeah.
Like it's an individual thing, and then it's a family thing as well. And you won't value it in the family context if you don't see the benefit and value it personally. But if you do see the benefit and the value of it personally, that will carry into your family dynamic. And all we're wanting to do, even through this message of Psalm 23 and these questions we've been posing, is ask you, those of you that know Psalm 23, maybe you've grown up in the church, maybe you're quick to acknowledge with your mind that you should be a restful person, that you should grow in resting. We're just asking folks to go, no, stop and think. But not only think, but like let there be tangible, practical outworkings of what you know to be true about resting in the Lord.
Yep, totally. Jay?
Yeah, man.
That's about it, but real quick.
Yeah.
It is summertime.
It is.
There's barbecues going on.
Yes, lots of barbecues.
What is the barbecue meat of choice for Jason Moore?
I like all barbecue. I'm more of a spicy mustard sauce guy. That would be my choice.
Okay.
We have some people who are part of the Summit family that are in the barbecue business, like professionally as well as just on the side. They really like to barbecue. I've probably fallen a little bit more in love over the last few years with brisket because I've gone to Texas some for some work and ministry stuff.
That's mine, for sure.
You like brisket?
I went to Austin. And I tried brisket for the first time 2 years ago, I think, and it changed my life.
But I think in the barbecue world, like a spicy sausage even, I really enjoy. Oh, I think I love that's welcomed spicy in sausage. The barbecue world, and I really like it. So there's a lot of people doing some good work out there. To be honest with you, I probably pick my barbecue based on the sides and the sauce even more than
that's
the meat.
That's fair.
So if I can get a good macaroni and cheese, if I can get a good hush puppy, don't put things in the hush puppy. I don't want onions in there.
What? People do that?
I don't want green peppers in there. I just want the hush puppiness of the hush puppy. So
why do people always try to make things better when they're already great?
Thanks, Brandon. Maybe we'll pursue that next time we have a podcast.
That's right.
We love all of you. Have a fantastic week. Keep it on 10 and 2, everybody. Safe driving out there.
Keep your eyes there on the road.
Buckle up.